Merry Christmas, everyone. Welcome to Discovery. We're back in this beautiful auditorium. What do you guys think? Yeah. So Discovery Community Church meets, as most of you probably know, here at Lincoln every Sunday for our time in the presence of God together with a faith family worshiping. But we've been over in the cafeteria, and now we're back in the auditorium, and it's just lovely to be here, and we're so grateful that all of you are here with us on this Christmas Eve. We invite you to please stand and join us as we celebrate God with us, Emmanuel. Let's sing together.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come.
Find some people around you. Just tell them Merry Christmas. Some of you have to walk out of your row, but look around you and say Merry Christmas to people. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. And then have a seat. Take a load off. Welcome to Discovery Community Church. Welcome to our Christmas Eve services. So excited that you guys are here. How do you like the new digs? If you've been coming to Discovery for a few months, this is new digs. If you've been coming to Discovery for a while, you're like, this is not new digs. And so we're back in this great auditorium for Christmas Eve services. We're going to have a fantastic time together. When you came in, it's our hope that you got a worship folder. It looks like this. Inside it is a few items that I would just encourage you to kind of peruse and look at. There's going to be a little welcome card in here. And on the welcome card, it tells you a little bit about Discovery and some things that are coming up. We're not going to be meeting this coming Sunday. We're going to be having what's called stay-at-home worship. And so we're providing some online resources, and Bobby's going to be teaching us, bringing 2025 to a close and kind of getting us revved up for 2026. So we're looking forward to that. And so anyway, this tells you a little about that. And then the following week, we're going to be back in the cafeteria for worship. That's going to be on January 4th. So if you've not been here before, you go to one set of doors down, and we're right in there. And we'd love to have you come and join us for worship there in the cafeteria. Now, this other little card in here says connection card. We would love to have you take a moment and fill this out, particularly if this is your first time with us. We would love to just send you a little more info about Discovery and help you get connected. We think that this is a great church and there's a place here for you. Okay, some things are happening. Let's look here. We are going to sing some songs. You guys in?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to sing some songs. You guys have been working on some songs. You guys got new songs or old songs or kind of a mix?
Little this, little that.
Little this, little that. Okay. So if you're... Just raise your hand if you're in the this category. Anybody? Okay, how about the that's? Oh, yeah, that's have it. So we're doing more that's than this is, okay?
Clear as mud.
Okay, clear as mud. All right, so we're going to sing some songs. We're going to take a few minutes this evening. It doesn't feel like evening yet. A lot of times we close the curtains, by the way. And about 30 minutes ago, I was like, please, let's let the sun come in.
Yeah.
It's been a while, right? So, but guess what? It's going to dissipate in just a matter of minutes. So let's just savor it. We're leaving those open. Hi, Jason. Everybody say hi to Jason.
Merry Christmas, Jason.
Merry Christmas, Jason. Are you looking for your family? Okay. So, yeah. Yeah, if we can help anybody else find a family, that's what we're here for. So we're going to sing some songs. We're going to, I'm going to take a few minutes. We're going to talk through one of the coolest parts of Christmas. We're going to talk about that tonight. And then we're going to have a couple things at the end. So one, we always close our services with Silent Night. And we sing Silent Night with these really official-looking candles, okay? So long gone are the days where we light them. So at least with matches. So, you know, you already figured out you're just going to do a little twist. And that lights them. So to be honest... I'd recommend not turning them on right now, but if you want to turn them on all through the service, that's up to you, okay? So anyway, that's what these are for. If you don't have one, when we get closer to that point in the service, we're going to have some people here with some extras on them, and we'd love for you to make sure you have one of these. If you want to take it home with you, you're more than welcome to do that, but we're also going to have a box here for you to drop them off so we can reuse them in the next service. So that's something. And then we always have a special offering on Christmas Eve. We call it the compassion offering, and 100% of that offering goes to meeting physical and emotional needs here in our community. And so if you'd like to give to the compassion offering tonight, there's going to be a QR code probably a little bit later in the service. You can give digitally, or you can give when we pass some baskets, you can give to that. If you're a regular member of Discovery and you want to give your normal tithes and offerings, you can do that as well. If you want to give specifically to the compassion offering, just make sure you say this for the compassion offering. Deal? So that's sort of our night. You guys ready? Let's pray together. And after we pray, we're going to have a reading of the Christmas story, and we're going to jump right back into some songs. So let's pray together. Jesus, thank you so much for this day. We thank you for your gift. And that gift is you. And you came not to show off, not to prove a point. You came to redeem broken people like us. And tonight as we worship, help us not to lose sight of that. I know sometimes, Father, underneath the beauty and wonder of Christmas gets buried the truth of Christmas. And maybe tonight, for just a few moments, would you help us look a little deeper under the bows and the presents and the candies and the traditions. Help us find life in you. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen.
Luke chapter 2, verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinus was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house of the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told, what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Amen.
Do not be afraid. Can you repeat that back to me? Do not be afraid.
Do not be afraid.
God is with us. Would you stand and celebrate that with us now?
Shepherd.
lift your gaze to the heavens. The everlasting one has come. Behold his eternal blessing. A lion in babe's form. In Bethlehem a king is born. Light and life his very being. A host of angels refrain their singing. Glory to God in the highest. Hail the Son in his rightness. From beginning this was his plan. To bring salvation to every land. Hark!
Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings. Risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by.
Praise to the newborn. God of heaven and earth, praise his name. We're going to invite a family up to lead us in Advent. So you can have a seat for just a minute and welcome the Ernst family this Christmas Eve.
Barnes. Well, hello, everyone. Benji. So, my name's Tad, and we are the Ernst family. This is my daughter, Neva, my wife, Savannah, my son, Weston, and this is Maya, our good friend. And so, it is our pleasure to read you, to do the Advent reading this Christmas Eve.
Hello, my name is Weston, and today I'll be reading 2 Corinthians 4:6. It says, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ."
As we light all these candles, we know that the waiting is over. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is born. Jesus, you are Emmanuel, God with us.
Hello, my name is Neva, and I'm going to be reading John chapter 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his blessing among us.
Same. Sounds good, though. All right, let's pray. Jesus, you are our Lord over all. You are our King, the one worthy of all our praises. You are our Savior, the one God sent from heaven to earth to save us from our sin and death. Tonight we celebrate your glorious birth. We love you, Jesus, our Lord, our King, and Savior, Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.
Ernst family. Stand if you'd like.
Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. goes by before ever, and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and take us to heaven to live with.
Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name.
Thousand hallelujahs, the
Just join me in prayer. You are deserving of all praise and all glory and all honor. In fact, even if here today our hearts are numb and our minds are distracted, even here today, if we fill our days and our hours with empty pursuits, the Bible tells us one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that there is none greater, there is none purer, there is no other name that's been given among us by which we must be saved but the name of Jesus. Jesus, 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 Master, Savior, Jesus. This night, really like every other night, every other moment, day, hour, but this night is yours. And it's not yours for us to walk through empty motions, but it is yours to somehow reign supremely in my heart. Some of us tonight, we've walked in and it's been a busy week. It's been a busy day. Some of us, we just raced here after work. Some of us have been in the fight, in the grind, in the battle all week to even for a moment think about things outside of that. It's really, really hard. So I'm asking that for a miracle tonight, Father. I'm asking that you you'd speak to some worn out souls. That you'd speak to some distracted minds. That you'd you'd speak to a numbness, a creeping cynicism that you'd speak. And maybe the best song, the sweetest way to bring you glory, was for the end of this night, these knees to bow and declare with all the rest of creation that Jesus, 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 you are Lord. Pray you might do something in these next few minutes that might change the rest of my story. In your name I pray. Amen. 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 Yeah, somebody, I was going to say be seated. The lights are awesome in here now. They've changed them. That means that you see me, but I have a hard time seeing you. So anyway, so glad you guys are here. Merry Christmas. If you have a Bible, you're going to want to have it open. If it's an old school Bible with paper, I don't know if you're going to see it. So if you get close to the lights right up here that are blinking, maybe we could glow right around you with the... Just kidding. Just having fun. So, you know, once you get a Bible, you can get your phone out. We're gonna walk through one of my favorite parts of Christmas, the favorite parts of the events of Christmas. We're gonna be in the Gospel of Matthew, and then we're gonna go through a bunch of other scriptures and kind of talk about what all this means. And so, on these screens, you're gonna see some different Bible verses and passages to kind of help us kind of navigate through this the next few minutes. So I'm excited. I hope that you're excited as well. So if you have a Bible, let's start in Matthew chapter 2. We're just going to read a few verses to get started. And starting in verse 9, it says, after they heard the king, they went on their way. By the way, who are we talking about? Anyone take a guess? The wise men. We're talking about here about the wise men, okay? The Bible calls them the Magi. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose, it went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And on coming to the house, they saw the child and his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. They opened their treasures, and they presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Merry Christmas. I love, by the way, I don't know, can we just give a round of applause to the people who made this place look awesome? I don't know about you, but I love all of it. And I try to figure out, how could we do this in January? January gets so dark. All the trees go away. The lights go away. Anybody kind of lament January 1 in your house? Like, this is awesome. I love it. I love everything about Christmas. If you've been at Discovery for the last few weeks, I've kind of been repeating that mantra. I love Christmas. I love the sights of Christmas. I love the lights. I love the trees. I love the sounds. I love the smells. Anybody say amen to the smells of Christmas? Some smells of Christmas. I love the tastes of Christmas. I love all the things that we do, the songs that we sing, the places that we go. I love them. I love tradition. Anybody love tradition? Yeah. In fact, I've been kind of processing a little bit about tradition. And, you know, in our culture, I cannot think of another time in the calendar that we have more tradition. And we just love our tradition. Some of you sit in a certain place at Christmas. Some of you eat a certain kind of food at Christmas. Some of you have a certain plate you get out at Christmas. We love our traditions. And then I started scratching my head. I was like, why do we like our traditions? And I think about that for myself. I've always been someone who like pushes against the norm. You know, I take my shoes off. It's weird, it's different, but it started a little bit about me pushing against the norm. That's kind of who I am, and kind of as a culture, we're a culture that likes to kind of, you know, we like relevant, you know, we like authentic. And so we have a tendency to push against tradition, but when I look at it, us at Christmas time, I'm blown away. We just love tradition. And I started saying, I wonder why. And so when I wonder, and maybe you do this as well, I go to the great Google. And so I went to the great Google and I asked Google, hey Google, help me out here. Why do we like traditions? And this is so cool, particularly from a non-human. Listen to this. Traditions are crucial. Funny from the AI, I love that. Traditions are crucial because they build strong bonds, create a sense of belonging, provide stability and identity by connecting us to family, culture, and history, offering comfort, shared memories, and a grounding sense of who we are amidst life's changes. That's an amen. Isn't that good? I particularly like the last line. It says, a grounding sense of who we are amidst life's changes. Why do we pull out those ornaments year after year? Why do we pull out those placemats? Why do we open presents at that time and only that time? Why do we sing those songs? Why are we so in love with tradition? It's because we have a soul. You and I have been shaped with a soul that craves for meaning and craves for more. In fact, when you kind of go down through the lists of all the Christmas traditions, not all of them, okay, but most of our traditions are rooted in humans' quest for more, for something meaningful. I did a little search this week about, like, Christmas stockings. Who puts up Christmas stockings in their house? Anybody? A few of you? And we got these frilly Christmas stockings. You know, check out this manger, by the way. This is the posturepedic manger, by the way. Okay? So we have stockings in our house that are just like this. And nobody ever put that thing on their foot, nor will they ever, right? So we put these, like, fancy things. But you know where that started? Hundreds of years ago, people did their laundry, and then they would hang their laundry next to the fireplace to dry. And in dark, difficult times, we don't actually know the guy who did it, but I'm imagine this how it went. You know, like, could we just leave our socks up tonight and pray God would fill it? And that's where it began. It began in a place of poverty where people would, let's leave the laundry out and let's symbolically hope that next year will not be as bad as this year. That God will do something. Like, there's things that you and I do year in and year out that are tied back to men and women who crave meaning and more. Christmas cookies left out for Santa. The origin of that was in one of the more dark times in our culture, almost 100 years ago, not quite, but almost 100 years ago, the Great Depression. Families began in the Great Depression putting out cookies for Santa, because they wanted their kids to believe that even in the difficult times, the dark times, the times of poverty, we can still live generously. Isn't that cool? Or how about maybe the most popular movie right now? I didn't look. I was going to look. I got busy today. But I know if I open up Netflix, it's going to say top 10 movies. There's going to be, who said Die Hard? You're not wrong. Die Hard is up there. I did see that. Okay. So, okay. That's not part of the sermon, okay? We could tie it in, though. Maybe next Christmas we'll do a Die Hard sermon. Okay. So, but, you know, it's a wonderful life. And I find that so interesting, because when that movie came out, it was a commercial disaster. It was maybe you don't know this, it was a complete flop. Nobody wanted to watch it. Today, everybody watches it over and over and over again, and it's not because the CGI is so great. It's not because there's a dinosaur chasing a Jeep. It's not because of the soundtrack. It's not because of the colors. It's because of the story of losing everything and things getting so dark that you think it's the whole world will be better off without you. And the whole story, it's not about a guy now getting everything fixed in the end. It's about a guy discovering community, family, hope, and faith. And we watch it over and over and over again. Let's not even get started about old Santa Claus. A father figure that watches over you while you sleep, keeps track of the good things and the bad things you do, and rewards you. Like, come on, people. This is, it's all point. Like, we want to deny this reality, but there are things in your life that you cannot escape. I hate to bust your bubble, but some of you got your mama's eyes, right? Some of you have your daddy's hands. Some of you walk like Uncle Ben, right? Some of you are, you know, a spitting image of your grandfather. You have the DNA that's in your blood that you cannot escape. And Scripture tells us something that you cannot escape. You can medicate. You can distract yourself. You can pretend otherwise. But Scripture tells us that you have a soul. I love this in the Old Testament, the book of Ecclesiastes. Chapter 3, verse 11, it says, God set eternity in the human heart. Why do you like tradition? It's because God gave you a soul that's longing for something more. Meaning and purpose. Joy. You know, in 2025, we settle for happiness, but our souls crave joy. You know, happiness is that thing that, is that emotion that you get when, you know, the cereal in the bowl is not stale. Anybody? Anybody pour your Cheerios in sometimes and you're like, oh, thank you. It's not stale, right? So happiness is that emotion that you get when there's some circumstances, but joy is that emotion that you have when your soul is right with your designer and is designed for you. It's one of the things I love about the Magi in Christmas. You know, again, like a lot of our traditions, the wise men has become kind of a caricature. Like, I think a lot of us, when we think wise men, we think like sand dunes and camels, and we think of turbans. Like, that's what we think of, right? And I think that is a complete travesty that that's our picture, because the truth is Matthew, the gospel writer Matthew tells us, these are regular dudes that wanted to experience more meaning and purpose. They wanted to experience transformational joy. And so Matthew tells us that here these guys set off on this journey to experience transformational joy. And the miracle of Christmas is this. They did. Regular people experienced transformational joy. It doesn't have to be an empty tradition. It doesn't have to be one of those empty things that we just walk through so we can get to the fudge. Amen? Anybody? Can we just get to the candy? Can we just get to the gifts? You know, sometimes that's for kids. I know how it works on Christmas Eve services. The kids are like this. How much longer? There's stuff at home that needs opening, right? And so all of us are a little that way. Like, can we just get through this so we can get back to life? And we miss life. And so what I love about the Magi is they didn't miss life. They found it. Matthew chapter 2, verse 10, it says, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. That's a cool word. Matthew's like, hey, you've heard about joy? And they got overjoyed. They got something bigger. Some translations say they exceeding great joy. Some translations say overwhelming joy. Anybody like to experience overwhelming joy? You know, instead of being overwhelmed by bills, overwhelmed by, you know, all the expectations, what if I was overwhelmed with joy, right? Some translations say ecstatic. I love this. There's one translation. I think it's the easy reading version, which I like, okay, of the Bible. It just says this. Joy was theirs. It was no longer a carrot on the end of a stick. It was no longer on a card. It was theirs. They had it. They experienced it. That's what God wants for you. Earlier, Bobby was reading from Luke chapter 2. Do you remember the song of the angels? There's good news for anybody? A great what? Good news for a great, anybody remember? The angels sang on the hillside. There's Tracy, do you know this one? There's good news for great what? Okay, good. Sarah, do you know that one? Yeah, so the angels in heaven announcing the birth of Jesus, they said, good news. There's great joy for everybody. God's heart for you is for you to live a life of meaning and purpose, unmistakable, transformational joy. Isn't that cool? Okay. You're a little too energetic, John. How do we land this thing? Like, what do I do with this? Like, if you're here tonight and you're like, you know, this sounds good, but I've been burned by this before. Like, what do I do? And I'm just going to share with you, there is just some like simple and beautiful steps. And I think it's good to think of these as steps, simple, beautiful steps that the Magi take to this transformational joy. And oddly enough, it starts with a flickering hope. You guys say flickering hope? Flickering hope. It starts with a flickering hope. Stick with me here for a minute, but in 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 Peter says, be alert and sober-minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for somebody to devour. Anybody say amen? Have you felt this, seen it? Like, so Peter says, man, it's a tough world. Can you say amen to that? Peter says, it's a tough world. Like, your enemy is trying to pick you off. Like, right now, it's tough. The economy's tough. Job market's tough. Like, we're dealing with levels of anxiety and depression in our culture like never before. It's tough, right? And the world is happy for you and I to stay in that cycle. Did you know that? Like, the more that you and I kind of stay in this tough cycle, depression, discouragement, we become more isolated, we consume more, and the world gets richer off our own destruction. The world's tickled pink for you and I to stay in that place. How do I get out of it? Do I got to conjure something up? Do I got to work myself up? No, Jesus himself says all it takes is a flickering hope. Look at this in the book of Matthew. Because you have so little faith, just flickering. Just flickering. I tell you, even if you have just a flicker of faith, as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. The Magi, the wise men, they didn't start with overwhelming joy. It's not where they started. They didn't start worshiping there with Jesus. They didn't start there. They started in a far-off place with just a tiny glimmer of hope. Maybe. Maybe this old heart and this tired back, maybe this cynical life could have hope again. And you know, God's not waiting for you to get pumped up. If there's just a flicker, that's enough. Now that's the start. What'd they do with that flicker? Well, second thing they did is they made an uncharacteristic pause. They made an uncharacteristic pause. Just real quickly, in Matthew chapter 2, the first two verses, it says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem and in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw a star when it rose and have come to worship him. Let me make a little translation. We stopped. We let some people down. We were back at our place. There were expectations and opportunities. There were needs. P.S., we all have jobs. We have families. By the way, some of our families think we're nuts. Have you ever thought about that? Like, we have people back home that think that we're crazy. We're the only people in our entire family that's on this journey. But what we did was we paused the world's expectations to pursue possibly the opportunity to know and experience God. And listen, friend, that's what God wants you to do. He wants you to put a pause on the chaos to pursue him. I love Acts 17:11. I think I read it last 2 weeks on Sunday mornings. Paul is talking to some people who are trying to figure stuff out. And he says this, Acts 17:27. He says, God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he's not, isn't that cool? Though he's not far from any one of us. James 4:8 says, come near to God and he will come near to you. Write that down. That's a good 2026 verse. I'll read it again. Come near to God and he will, everybody, come near to you. Isaiah 55:6 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Friend, let me encourage you to take a baby step, an uncharacteristic pause. And in 2026, take a baby step to pursue the things of God. This could be, hey, I'm going to hang out with people who are going in the right direction. That's a baby step. It could be for you a baby step of saying, you know what, I'm going to show up at a church regularly. This one or a church in your hometown. I'm just going to show up regularly. I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, I'm not there yet, but I got to do something different than just pursue the dollar. Amen? Amen. Maybe for you, it's like, I'm going to try to read this thing. So many people have talked about the life-changing power of God's Word. I'm going to try just 15 minutes a day to read it. Some of you need to start January 2026 by being baptized and say yes to Jesus. The world's spinning, man. It's trying to bring you with it. But let me encourage you to take an uncharacteristic pause and pursue the things of God. And the third thing that they did, I'll go fast, but it's super cool, is they made a wonderful surrender. That transformational joy, it requires a man, a woman. Well, let's look at this in Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. Says they came into the house. They didn't stay outside the house. They didn't stay out there like, that's so cool. Check out that star. No, it says they went into the house and they saw the child Jesus with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. They opened their treasures and they presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Let's not miss this. They experienced transformational joy. Because when they came into that house, they bowed down. They said, Jesus, you are the source. Jesus, you are everything my heart's been looking for. Jesus, there'll be nothing greater in my life than you. That's why after bowing, they gave their gold and frankincense and myrrh. They're surrendering the things that they've chased and the world chases. They surrendered all of it and said, this is yours and I am now yours. The joy that your soul longs for is only found by inviting Jesus into your life. Matthew chapter 11, Jesus says, listen to these words. They're so beautiful and I think they're written specifically for you. Jesus says, come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Isn't that good? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. He came for you. He came that you would experience real, unmistakable, transformative joy. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. Merry Christmas. Listen. Listen to that thing that's being stirred. You're busy people. You're important people. You're hurting people. You find yourself attracted to tradition. But I think it's really important to stop and say, what's happening? And the reason why we walk through these things week in, I mean, year in and year out, is because you have a soul. And God has been trying to draw you back to him. He sent his son to draw you back to him. And this whole world's hard on that hope, right? And cynicism is just knocking at the door, and it just takes the flame, and it has a tendency to just squeeze it down into a flicker. But if there's still a flicker, there's still hope. Let me encourage you. We're going to take a minute right here to pray. And if there's something that you want to talk to God about, I'm going to give you a minute just to talk. Just you and God. Don't have to pretend. Don't have to use a thee or a thou. No fancy language. Just be you. If there's something that you need to say to God, I want you to take a minute. After a couple moments, I'm going to pray. And then I'm going to lead us in the next couple minutes of our service, okay? Let's pray together. It's a remarkable thought that you placed in each man, woman, and child a craving, not just for more things, but a craving for more meaning and purpose, a craving for you. Father, I pray in the next few hours, in the next few days, God, I pray in this next year for some men and women in this room to make a pause and turn to you. If some of you would like to pray a prayer that I find to be deeply transformational, it goes something like this. Jesus, I believe that you came for me. Jesus, I've been running away from you, but no more. Jesus, will you save me? And I want you to know, friend, that God always hears that prayer. We love you, Jesus. Have your way in us. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to, this is our giving back to God moment. And as I mentioned earlier, you're going to see some directions on the screen. You're going to see a couple QR codes. One's going to be for our Compassion Fund. If you'd like to give right back to our community, you can give digitally that way. You can also give by the way, any cash that's in these baskets, we're just going to assume is going right to our community. So any cash will go right to that. If you want to give to the Ministries of Discovery Community Church, you can use an envelope or you can use the other QR code up here. And let's share this message of Jesus throughout our whole city and our whole generation. Thank you so much for being here this morning. This morning. I'm so used to that. This evening. Honestly, thanks. You could have been anywhere else. It means the world to us that you're here. What are we going to do next? Are we going to be singing A Little Silent Night? Okay. So as soon as the baskets go by, you're going to want to get your candle out and light it. And just a little reminder, light it by just twisting this. And Dennis, are you going to keep your eye open for some people that need one of these? Candle? Yeah, so in a couple minutes, so he'll come back, Dennis will come back through here with some, or maybe Kirsten's got that. She's got that too. So if you'd like a candle, just raise your hand and Kirsten will get it to you. All right.
Thank you, John. Thank you guys so much for spending your Christmas Eve time of worship together with us. I hope it was meaningful to your soul. It's good to take care of your soul, right, Bobby?
Yeah.
Would you please stand with your candle lit and join me in Silent Night?
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and
tradition. We're going to sing this a cappella. Here we go.
Silent night, holy night,
all is calm.
All is calm. All is bright. Round yon virgin mother and child, holy. Sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep in heavenly peace.
Jesus, we are grateful. We are grateful that you came to redeem, to restore the hurting, the broken, the numb, the indifferent, me. Thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everyone. We'll see you soon.
On your way out, you can drop these there by Dennis and have a great Christmas. And maybe we'll see you on January 4th. God bless.
God bless.